بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، so we continue our studies of the biography and the life of the greatest man and the best of all creation, the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the seal of the messengers and the role model for all mankind sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. And we have been studying his timeline, the timeline of his life sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we are still studying the affairs that occurred before he was sent as a prophet and messenger, the events that occurred in his life before he was sent as a prophet and messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we have seen what happened before he was born and at his birth, and we have seen what happened after he was 2 years old, and likewise 4 years old and 6 years old and 8 years old sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our discussion continues, and we ask Allah to give us success to say that which is correct, and to believe in that, and to believe in the truth and follow it, and to know it and to love it. Whenever he was 12 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his uncle took him on a trip. Masmu ammihi Abu Talib, and his uncle Abu Talib, he was from the leaders of Quraysh, and it was from the ways of Quraysh that in the summertime and the wintertime they would go on journeys. Journeys for what? For trading, for business, tijara. Now, for tijara, for business and trading. And in the summertime they would go to? And in the wintertime they would go to? Yemen. And this is very suitable for the times of the years, because in the winter time, Yemen is the weather is nice. And in the summertime in Sham, the weather is nice, and the fruits and the business and the commerce is boosting and going properly and well. And they used to go there and trade some of the goods from Mecca, and also buy and purchase many of the goods from those lands and bring them back and make money with them in their lands and trade. And this was from their way. Abu Talib, at this time, he wants to make a trip to Sham, but he has with him his nephew. Who is his nephew? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a young boy, he's only 12 years old. But Abu Talib, he needs to go to Sham. He needs to take the people to Sham to go for the journey, for tijara. Now he needs to go on this business journey. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has nobody to look after him and nobody to take care of him. So Abu Talib, he just could not leave him there by himself. He felt bad for him and he felt sorry for him. He didn't want to leave him in Mecca the whole time while he's traveling all by himself. So Abu Talib, he took him with him. Abu Talib, he took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with him on this journey. Why? To keep him safe, because the Prophet, he doesn't have anybody at this time. He doesn't have anybody to take care of him. His father died and his mother died. And his grandfather died. And now, the only one to look after him is his uncle. And now his uncle, he has to go on a journey. And it's not a short journey to travel to Sham on foot or on camel and the likes like this. So he's going to be gone for some time. But he did not want to leave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca by himself with nobody to look after him. He was worried about him. And he was very kind and nice to him, so he brought him with him. He brought him with him. But it's known that Quraysh, they used to make these journeys every year. Every year, these are not new journeys to them. They would go on these same paths. Every year they would go on the path to Sham. One time of the year, and another time they would go on the path to Yemen. So these paths, these trading routes, they are well known to Quraysh. And they were also the people that lived on those routes. Quraysh was known to them. We understand that? But on this journey, whenever they're going to Sham, who was accompanying along with Quraysh this time? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. on the path there, there was a man. His name is Bahira. His name is Bahira al-Rahib. So they're traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, and many of his companions from the leaders and the people of Tijara from Quraysh. They're traveling to Sham. They traveled all the time and they passed on these paths all the time when they passed by these tribes and these villages and these different people all the time, and nobody ever stops them or comes to them or questions them or asks about them whatsoever. But this time, whenever they're traveling and they stop to rest, somebody comes to check on them. His name is Bahira. Bahira al-Rahib. Al-Rahib meaning that he was a priest. He was a priest. He was a Christian priest. And he was upon the Deen al-Nasara. And he was somebody who was knowledgeable about the previous books, the books of Musa and Isa, alayhi musallatu wasalam. He had knowledge of the books that were revealed before. And he was not upon the deen of the mushrikeen. So Bahira, he knew about the prophets and the revelations that had preceded, and also he was aware of the coming of a new prophet. So whenever Quraysh, Abu Talib and his companions, they stopped near Sham in this land, Bahira, he came out to them and he found them and he started asking them, Who is with you? Where's the young boy? They found him. He said, that's Muhammad. He said, oh, this is a messenger. This man, this boy is special. This boy right here is going to be a prophet. This boy right here is the best of all mankind. He informed them of that. And this narration is found in At-Tirmidhi. And he praised him and he praised him. Before Quraysh, they would come by this path, and Bahira, he would never come to them and he would never talk to them. But this time, he's seen something special. They said, what are you talking about? He said, whenever I seen you guys coming from the bottom of the mountain, all of the trees, they start prostrating in that direction. And they start prostrating in that direction, and they only do that for a prophet. And then, whenever they were talking to Bahira, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in the pasture and he was out in the field with the sheep and he was watching them. And he used to be a shepherd and he used to keep after the animals. So he was out there, but there it's in the field. There's no shade whatsoever. Bahira, he said, look, that's him out there. He said, look how the clouds are covering him wherever he goes. Look over here where everybody's in the sun, but out there, wherever he goes with those sheep, the clouds are covering him and keeping him shaded. They looked and they said, oh, yeah. And then he said, call him. They were all sitting under the shade of a tree. All of them, they were sitting under the shade of a tree. Yani Quraysh, Abu Talib and them, and Bahira, he's there with them. He said, call him, tell him to come here. So they called him, ya Muhammad, come. So he started coming. Whenever he came to them, he's standing now, he's outside, outside of the shade, and you know what? The shade of the tree, it goes over to him. It starts to move until the shade covers the Prophet. He said, look at the shade. Now it's going over to him on his side, covering him. And this was from the signs of his prophethood, and from the signs of the care of Allah for him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is something that Bahira, he knew of. And he warned Abu Talib, he said, who is in charge? Who is the guarding of this young boy? Who is in charge of this young boy? Abu Talib, he said, me. He said, no, you should not let him go to Sham with you. He's under your protection? You're his guardian? He said, yes. He said, no, you need to send him back home right now. Said, why? He said, because if the people from Rome, if the Romans hear about him and the Jews hear about him, they're going to harm him and they're going to hurt him. And this is something that is known from those people. They used to harm even the Jews. They used to kill the prophets. And this is from the reason why they earned the anger of Allah. Now, the anger of Allah is upon the Jews. And they tried to kill Isa and they killed prophets before him. And they disbelieved in some of them and they killed others. Naam, and this is why Allah is angry with them, and they earned the anger of Allah. So Bahira, he said to Abu Talib, he said, no, don't let him go any further. You need to send him back. You need to send him back to Mecca where he came from, because if you keep on going to Sham, then possibly the Jews are going to find out about him and hurt him. or the Romans are going to find out about him and they're going to see his sign. And even Bahira, he mentioned, I know him and I know his sign. He's a prophet because on his back he has the seal of prophethood. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had on his back, between his shoulders, between his back and his left shoulder, at the top there was a birthmark. And they said it looked like a small egg. And it was a piece of flesh that was a little bit darker color. And it was bumped up on his back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the seal of prophethood. And if they said that it's on the left side, behind his back. And that's also in the same place where the heart is, on the front side. Where the heart is in the front side, on the back, that's where the equal place on his back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had that little piece of flesh on his back that was bumped up. And it was a different color. And that's the sign of prophethood, the seal of prophethood that he had on his back, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Bahira, he knew about that, and it was there. And Bahira, he knew about that, and it was there. So Abu Talib now, he's afraid. So Abu Talib got some of his servants, and he said, take Muhammad back to Mecca. So he didn't continue with them on their journey. Rather, he was sent back. He was sent back to Mecca because of what? Bahira, he mentioned about this affair. Because of what Bahira, he mentioned about this affair. So this is also from the affairs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever he was 12, he went on this journey. And the people along with him, they met Bahira. And Bahira, he sent him back. He told him to send him back. So Abu Talib, he sent him back. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was raised in this manner. And he was raised in a good way. And he was always free from the ways of his people. And he never followed them in their ways. And he was always kept safe from harm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had preserved him and removed the possibility for shaitan to whisper into his heart. And he was protected, and he lived a life of purity, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even as a child. And now, before we move to the next event in his life, we want to discuss some of the important affairs about him and how he was raised before he became a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a narration now about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he was a young man, before he was old. Excuse me, before he became a prophet. And this hadith is from Zayd ibn Haritha. And Zayd ibn Haritha, he is talking about events that occurred before prophethood. And that him and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they made tawaf around the Kaaba. But at this time, Quraysh, they had idols around the Kaaba. And there was one idol, it was made from bronze. It was shiny. They called it Isaf, or they called it Na'ila. It was one of the idols. Zayd ibn Haritha, whenever they would go around the Kaaba, one time when they go around it, whenever they get to that idol, he wiped it. Because the mushrikun, they used to do that. They used to wipe their idols. And يَتَمَسَّحُونَ بِأَسْنَامِهِمْ. And they would wipe their idol like this, and they would touch it, and they would think that they're going to get blessing from their idols, from that rock that they made, and that they carved, or that they made out of some iron, or some bronze, or some gold, or the likes like that. So whenever they would go around the Kaaba, the mushrikun, they would touch their idols like this, and they would think they're getting blessing and good things from their false gods. So they're going around the Kaaba, and Zayd ibn Haritha, he's with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Zayd, he wiped the idol whenever he got there, the bronze one, he wiped it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, don't touch that thing. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. And they kept on going around again. And then Zayd, he said to himself, man, I'm going to touch it again and see what he does. I'm gonna see what it does. He went the first time he wiped the idol, and the Prophet Muhammad, he's not even a prophet now. But he was with him. And then he wiped the idol. He said, don't do that, don't touch it, don't even touch it. Like that. And then they went around again, and Zayd ibn Harith, he says to himself, you know what, I'm gonna touch it again, I'm gonna see what happens. I'm going to see what happens if he's going to tell me not to do it again. So they went around again and he touched it again. Huh? The second time. He touched it again the second time. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Alam tunha? He said, well, you're not prohibited from that. And then Zayd ibn Harith, he said, I swear by Allah that the Prophet Muhammad, he never ever touched the idol in his life. And he never ever worshipped the idol in his life. So this is something that we see and that we learn from his biography, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was always far away from the way of his people. Yani from shirk. He never was involved in shirk. And he never wiped an idol or sought blessing from an idol. And he never touched an idol ever. Zayd ibn Harith, he said, فَوَلَّذِي أَكْرَمُهُ وَأَنزَلَ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ I swear by the one who honored him and revealed the book to him, مَسْتَلَمَ صَلَمٍ قَطْ حَتَّى أَكْرَمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالَّذِي أَكْرَمُهُ بِهِ وَأَنزَلَ عَلَيْهِ I swear by the one who honored him and the one who revealed the book to him that he never touched an idol ever in his life, all the way until Allah honored him and revealed the book to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something how he was before prophethood. Whenever he was a young boy, all the way till he was a man, he never touched an idol. And he never worshipped the idol. And he always used to hate the idol worship. And he used to disapprove of the way of his people. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, before he became a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never, ever, ever, ever ate the food that was slaughtered for the idols. The food that was slaughtered for the idols, he never, ever, ever ate them. Ever. Because the Quraysh, they used to slaughter their food for the idols and for their false gods. And they would slaughter them in the name of their false gods. And they would slaughter them for their idols. And then they would eat their food. They would eat that food. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never, ever, ever ate any animal that was slaughtered for other than Allah. And it's been narrated in Sahih Bukhari that he was with some people, and from them was Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nawfal. Some food, some meat was presented to them at a sufra. What is a sufra? There was food put on the sufra. The sufra is the mat that you put on the ground. The mat that you put on the ground to put food on. Now, so there was some, he was with them and they put food on the mat to eat. And then in one narration, Zayd ibn Amr, he refused to eat. In the other narration, the Prophet, he refused to eat. In any case, it's mentioned that both of them, they said that I'll never eat the food. He said, I never eat the food that is slaughtered for your idols. And I only eat the food that's slaughtered in the name of Allah. It comes in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي لَا أَكُلُ مِمَّا تَذْبَحُونَ إِنِّي لَا أَكُلُ مِمَّا تَذْبَحُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَابِكُمْ وَلَا أَكُلُ إِلَّا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ He said, I'll never eat the food that you slaughter for your idols and on the places where your idols are worshipped. And I only eat the food that's slaughtered in the name of Allah. And I only eat the food that's slaughtered in the name of Allah. This is from the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal for the Prophet. Even before he's the messenger, he was never involved in shirk. And he was far away from shirk in the way of his people. Although all the people in his society, they're upon falsehood and they're upon the worst of all evils. They're upon shirk. And the lies like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never was upon that. And he never approved that. And even if he seen people doing that next to him, he'd tell them to stop. Don't do that. Don't touch that idol. Don't touch the idol. So this is something that's very beneficial for us to learn and to know. That falsehood, we stay away from it. And the falsehood, if we see people doing it, we tell them to stop. And we have to be cautious and we shouldn't be deceived by what all the people are doing. Somebody might say in Mecca at that time, all the people are, everybody's wiping the stone. Everybody's wiping their hands on the idol. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's eating the food that's slaughtered for other than Allah. Everybody's doing it. But was the Prophet Muhammad doing it? Sallallahu, no, he wasn't doing it. So we don't do what everybody's doing. We're not deceived by the numbers. Everybody's got haram toys. Everybody's playing haram games. Everybody's got pictures and images on their t-shirts. A'udhu billah. Everybody's playing these haram games that have magic and kufr and disbelief in them. But what do we say? Alhamdulillah, I'm not like everybody. If you want to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can't be like everybody. You can't be like everybody. Somebody might say, everybody's watching cartoons. Everybody's watching cartoons. Cartoons are haram. Drawing images of human beings. And if the cartoons have images of human beings, or dhawat al-arwah, animals that have souls in them, this is haram. It's haram to draw pictures of images that have souls in them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that's haram. And to draw pictures of images that start even moving, that's even more haram. It's even more haram. Watching these images, even sometimes they have these images that people watch, they have cartoons that have special powers. Powers that only Allah has. Like to make it rain, or they can see the unseen, or they know what's happening tomorrow, or they see what's going on, or they can make things happen out of nowhere. All of these are only things, only Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has the ability to do all things. And they give these characters that are supposed to be from the creation, the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that's shirk, and kufr and disbelief. And the one who loves disbelief, he's on a bad way, a'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. And the children who are raised upon watching these images, what happens to them? These characters, what happens to them?
They get the anger of Allah.
They're going to get the anger of Allah, but why? Because their hearts love them. This character, they learn his name, and they love that character, and they talk about him, and they follow him, and they act him, but in reality, this is something that's not pleasing to Allah. Having powers, and this is all haram. Now powers and superpowers, and he can see, and he can bring the fire, and he can bring the wind. Allah, he brings the wind. Allah, he creates the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives life, and he gives death alone. So we shouldn't be deceived by what the majority, the lesson that we learn now, we're not deceived by what the majority of the people are doing. Do we know that the majority of the people don't understand? The majority of the people are not guided? The majority of the people will not be in paradise? Do you know that? Do you know that the majority of mankind will not go to Jannah? Huh? Most of the people will not go to Jannah. Most of the people are not going to go to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that it's going to be said to Adam. Allah is going to say to Adam alayhi salam, go into your people and to your children and take bi'athan ila an-nar. Take a bi'ath ila an-nar. He said, Adam is going to say, وَمَا بِعْثُ my Lord, what is a bi'ath? He said, from every 1,999 of them will go to the fire. From every 1,000 of the children of Adam, 999 of them will go to the fire. So that means to be that one, what do you have to do? If you're like the rest of the people, what happens? You're going to go to where the rest of the people go. Only one of them from every 1,000. And so that means that one, if you have 1,000 people here, one of them is different from all of them. What's going to be? He's going to be what? He's going to be different. He's going to stand out. He talks different than 99 different people. 999, he looks different. He wears his clothes different. He talks different. He thinks different. He believes different. The 999 people. So the point is that we don't follow the majority of the people. If we want to be sincere and we truly want to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should be ready to be strange. Now, in any case, we see that we're not deceived by the numbers. The majority of the people, they slaughter for other than Allah, and they eat what they like, and they wear what they like, and they listen to what they like, and they touch what they like, and they buy what they like. Not us, alhamdulillah. The favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla, He guided us to know the difference between the halal and the haram, and the good and the bad, and al-Islam al-kufr, naam wa shirk, al-tawheed wa shirk, al-sunnah wa bid'ah. If we know the difference between these things and we try to follow them, we're going to be different from everybody else. But being different in this manner is a good thing. It's a good thing. All the little girls are running around outside with the short dresses on, a'udhu billah. With tight clothes on, a'udhu billah. With their hair all puffed up in ponytails and booms, or what do they call it? A'udhu billah. Buffed up in a'udhu billah. Makeup all over the a'udhu billah. But then comes an honest girl, a righteous girl, a follower of Prophet Muhammad, all black on, covered up. Her loose clothing, nobody can see her body, alhamdulillah. Doesn't you think she's going to be strange? But who's going to be strange on the Day of Judgment? وَيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَارِ يَلْحَقُونَ That's going to be on the Day of Judgment. What's going to happen? The believers on that day, they're going to be doing what? Laughing at the disbelievers. Who's laughing now? The day of the believers is the day of judgment. The day of the believers is the day they meet their Lord. Huh? In this life, it's a test and a trial. So don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not scared to be different from his people. Everybody's touching the idol, don't touch the idol. Everybody's eating all these food slaughtered for Lat and Uzza and Manat and all. I don't need that. You eat that? I don't need that. I don't eat that. Huh? Like that. Same thing for us. Huh? You go to all these restaurants. I don't go to all these restaurants. You wear your clothes. I don't wear my clothes. You cut your hair. I don't cut my hair like that. Well, what's the difference? Why not? What's the answer? What's the answer? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do that. So I don't do it. Huh? Because I follow Prophet Muhammad. I don't know who you follow. Who do you follow? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we're going to follow him, we're going to have to be like him. Huh? That we have to be like him. And that means we're going to have to be a little bit strange sometimes. Huh? We're going to have to be a little bit strange sometimes. But alhamdulillah. If we do it with sincerity, like we really do it for the sake of Allah, not because our daddy tells us to, or our mom tells us to, or because of the people, that's the way that we in our society. We do it for the sake of Allah alone. Allah will put light in our heart. And Allah will put satisfaction in our heart. And Allah will make us strong and firm and happiness in our heart. And He will give us the sweetness of al-Iman. In any case, our Prophet Muhammad, we ask Allah from His grace and from His mercy, from His fadl, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never touched an idol. He never worshipped the idol. He didn't even like them. And he stayed away from that. He didn't eat the food that was slaughtered for other than an idol. Also, even the people, he didn't eat the food that was slaughtered for other than Allah. Ahsan, jazakallah khairan. He didn't eat the food that was slaughtered for other than Allah. He said, La akulu illa mimma dhukira ismullah alayhi. I do not eat anything except for what the name of Allah was mentioned upon. Except for what the name of Allah was mentioned upon. Allahu Akbar. Also, something else, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to clarify his purity and his and how he was protected from shirk even before he was a prophet, was that Quraysh, even at that time, we know they used to make Hajj, right? But they had corrupted the Hajj. They still made Hajj. There were still some remnants of the Deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam, like Hajj, but they used to make Hajj and they would make shirk in Hajj and they had idols. But Quraysh on the day of Arafah, which is the best day, which is actually the Hajj is all about Arafah. On the day of Arafah, Quraysh, they used to say, we're not standing in Arafah, we're standing in Muzdalifah. They didn't go to stand in Arafah, they stood in Muzdalifah. Because Arafah is fil hil. Arafah is outside of the Haram area. And Muzdalifah is inside the Haram area. Quraysh, they used to say, because they're the ones who take care of the house of Allah, they say, Nahnu Ahlullah. We're the people of Allah. We're not going to go outside of the Haram area. We're going to stay inside that. You normal people, you go outside of the Haram area to Arafat and like that all around there. As for us, we don't leave the Haram area. Huh? We stay here. You normal guys go out there to Arafat. You other the rest of the tribes from the Arabs, you guys go to Arafat, stand there. We're going to stand in Muzdalifah because we are the people of Allah. Huh? We're the caretakers of the house of Allah. Huh? And they used to call him Al-Humps, because can we yatahammasuna needing him. They used to really be very strong on their deen, the deen of the mushrikeen. The Quraysh, they were like the strongest upon that way. Huh? And they're fanatical about it. Huh? Like that. But Jubair ibn Mut'im, subhanAllah, he's getting a lot of narrations from him in a few of these classes. Radiallahu anhu, he says that one time I was in Hajj before prophethood, and I lost my camel. And I went looking for my camel, and then I went to Arafat, and I seen Prophet Muhammad over there, and he's standing on Arafat, huh, with the rest of the people. And I said to myself, man, what's that guy doing here? He's from Homs. What is he doing over here? And then it's mentioned that later on he realized that it was a success and the blessing of Allah that he never followed his people in that. He didn't do what the rest of the Quraysh did, like his tribe did. Rather, he differed from them. And Allah gave him success that he stood on Arafat with the people who stood on Arafat, even though he's from Quraysh. Huh? So again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he was a prophet, he differed from his people. He differed from them. And he followed the legislation of Allah even before it was revealed to him that was legislation. And this is from the success of Allah. But the benefit that we learn from this again, that we're not afraid to be different from the people as long as we're on the truth. As long as we have an ayat and a hadith and an understanding of the Sahaba that this is the right Islam, then that's what we follow. Who cares what the rest of the people are doing? We're not going to be asked about what they do. we're going to be asked about what we do. Huh? And just like this, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he differed from the people. If they're upon falsehood, even before he had guidance, Allah gave him success to be away from falsehood. Even if all of his people were doing that. Jubair, he said, what is that man doing over here? That's Muhammad. He's from Homs. Why is he over here? Why is he not over there? That's really weird. All of Homs is over there. Quraysh is over there. Better than everybody else. What did they say? Nahnu ahadullah. We're the people of Allah. There's a benefit in this likewise. Huh? Were they the people of Allah? No, no, no. They're the mushrikun. So just because somebody claims something or says that, oh, I'm Salafi, oh, I'm Sunni, oh, I'm Ahl Sunnah, like this, we don't just look at what they claim and what they say, but rather what do we look at? Huh? What they do. We look at what they do. If their claim is in accordance with what they do, we say, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, Mubarak. Huh? But if they say something, I follow the Sunnah, I follow this, I follow that, didn't they do some things that's not from the Sunnah? We say, what is that? Huh? They say, well, Ahl Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah. Then you know what they do? They gather in circles and they go, hoo, 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 hoo. And then if you ask them, who are you? They say, we're Ahl Sunnah. They say, wallah, you think I'm laughing? Hoo, 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 like this. Then they dance around, hoo, 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 and they have a big sheikh. And you know, they have rules too. They like the sheikh says, hoo so much, and his hat falls off. All the other people got to take their hat off. Because it's not right for them to have their hats on when the sheikh's hat is off. Even they say if they're in their gathering, and then they dance, and they're hoo, hoo, like this, and hoo, hoo, and then they're dancing around. And if the sheikh tears off his thobe, what is everybody else supposed to do? Because it's not right for everybody else to have their thobe on if the sheikh doesn't have. This is some of the silly stuff that they make up. And then in the end, the worst part of it all, they say, who are you? Who are you guys? What do they say? We're Ahl Sunnah. We're Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Huh? That's a good statement, right? But if the actions are not in accordance with it, man, it means nothing. Just like here, they say, we're the people of Allah. That's a good statement, right? Don't we want to be from the people of Allah? And the people of Allah, I mean the people that Allah loves. Uh-huh. Don't we want Allah to love us? Is that easy to say? Allah loves me. Is it easy to say? Everybody can say it. But the reality is what's important. Does Allah love us? Does Allah love us? Oh, that's what's important. Huh? It's easy to say, oh, I'm from the people of Allah. Oh, I'm from the people of the Sunnah. Oh, I'm upon the good deen. That's easy to say. But we have to do it. Somebody says it, but they don't do it. It's nothing. It's nothing. Nahnu ahlullah. That's what they said. Are they the people of Allah? La. Because they make shirk. They make shirk. They said, we're the people of the Sunnah. I said, are they the people of the Sunnah? I said, what kind of Sunnah is that? Did Bukhari narrate the hadith about who? What about Muslim? Huh? What about Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, and Nasa ibn Majah? We find them in the who? Did Abu Bakr who? Allahu Musta'an. That's not Ahl Sunnah. They're just making claims. They made that up. They're liars. Liars. Huh? We don't like liars. Nah? So we try to be steadfast and we learn and we apply what we learn. In this manner, Allah will love us. If we apply what we learn and we put what we say into action, then we'll be from the people of Allah. It's coming Sahih Muslim when we close with this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Yawm al-qiyamah, on Yawm al-qiyamah, yu'tal Qur'anu wa ahluhu alladhina kanu ya'maluna bihi." Now, on the day of judgment, the Quran will be brought and its people. Those who used to apply it. So who are the people of the Quran? Those who used to apply the Quran. Huh? Like we learn about good manners and then we learn about good manners and the manners of the Quran, and then after that we yell at the people and we steal from the people and we lie to the people and we cheat the people. Is he from the people of the Quran? No. We learn about Tawheed in the Quran and then they go and call on the graves and they call on the saints and they call on the awliya. Is he from the people of the Quran? Is he from the people? No. It's not about statements only. Statements are important, but the actions have to back up the statement. The actions have to back up the statements. You understand that? The actions have to back up the statements. Now, can't be lip service. Some boy right now, he's like, man, I can dunk. I mean, you can't dunk. Yeah, I can dunk. Man, you can't dunk. And then you give him the ball, he can't even dribble.
He's like, what are you talking about?
You can dunk.
Everybody can say they can dunk, but who can really dunk? Only the one who really is able to. Huh? So just to say somebody, if you say, I can dunk, you can dunk. He dunks it. I say, okay, he can dunk. Like this. That's where the other guy, he's just talking lip service. Lip service means that, man, you can't dunk. You can talk all day long. We don't believe you. He's from Ahl Sunnah. Let me see the Sunnah in your actions. Let me see the Sunnah in your deeds. Let me see the Sunnah in your statements. Let me see the Sunnah in your Salat. How come you say you're from the Sunnah, but I don't ever see the Sunnah on you? Huh? Doesn't make sense. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.